TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Hesh, Hesher Dude, Hesher McHesherton, El Hesherino, and Hesher the Magnificent.
Who calls him that?
Brian McClain is Hesher on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Third hour of the show. Man, time flies when you're having fun and when you're learning stuff. I always learn things here on the show. I want to thank Ed Dowd for joining me and Joe Bastardi for joining me in the first hour. I love it when Joe's on. He always makes a comment like he feels bad about steamrolling through the hour, but I love it when he steamrolls through the hour. It's wonderful. It is wonderful. Joe, I wish Joe would vlog 24/7 and just give his thoughts as he goes about his day doing his normal operations. He's great. And Ed too, what a warrior. And what an important book that Ed has written. It's available now. Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022. I really like his angle where he's writing a book for the uninitiated. This book is not for people like you and I necessarily who have been tracking all of these died suddenly cases. I had a great conversation with Ruckus the other night about this. And Ruckus came up with the great idea that we just need to come up with different permutations for this now that the mass media can no longer say died suddenly. So we get to have all kind of fun, like spontaneously expired. We can come up with a million ways to say these things nowadays. And as you heard in the break right there, the mainstream is now forced to admit the fact that more than half of COVID deaths that are occurring right now, quote unquote, COVID deaths, are by people who are jabbed and boosted. This is not something to take lightly, folks. This cannot be something that we take lightly. So perhaps Ed's book will nudge more people into accepting the fact that this is the worst thing that humanity has ever allowed government and industry to do to them. We don't know what the long-term toll of this is. We don't know what this is going to do to fertility. We don't know what this is going to do to the human genome. We don't really know what the little kids of people who have taken these jabs on are going to grow up to be like genetically, biologically. We have no idea. And we're sitting here talking about Neuralink. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we gotta be the watchdogs here, folks, because the people that are in charge of biotechnology and the biosecurity state, well, guess what? Guess what? They don't care about you. They do not care about you. They don't care if all-cause mortality rises. They don't care if our military readiness declines. They don't care if our labor force declines. They don't care if we are depopulated. Arguably, they want to see depopulation. They want to see disruption of the human genome so that they can continue their shenanigans and run around and create their technocratic dystopia for us to be stuck inside of. And we're not having it. We're not having it here at TNT. So have that conversation with us on the TNT Radio Interactive chat room down there. It's on the website. Give us your opinion over there. Friends and foes, we don't care. You got a dirty opinion? Go ahead and drop it in there. We can take it. All right. We'll be right back with Kent Moyer and CeCe Woods.
The stories affecting you.
They cover the important stories.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, I'm joined by two of my favorite people here, CeCe Woods and Kent Moyer. Welcome to the show, CeCe. How are you doing today?
Happy birthday, Hesher! how is your day? How is your day unfolding?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I got to be on podcasts all day yesterday. I think I was on the mic for almost 7 hours, you know, prepping for shows in between there. I did this show. I did Timothy Shea's show. I did Boiler Room, right. Having a great time. Got to be with all my all my listeners and all my colleagues. And yeah, very pleased to make my 48th ring around the sun today and close out today's broadcast with you two kind folks.
You
happy
baby.
Birthday. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you, Kent. Thank you. I'm honored to have you here on my birthday. So, well, so much going on in the media, so much to talk about. Cece, where should we start today? Where do you want to start? I know I want to talk to Kent about that rental car thing at some point during this hour, but where should we start?
Yeah, actually, let's start with the rental car, because right after that, we've got some important stuff that I emailed you that we need to talk with Kent about. The buddy system that they have in the security business, or they're starting to adopt. So let's do the rental car thing. I think that's like, I mean, the whole, there's so much other stuff. It's just too much. I just can't. Right. But the rental car, at least we can get the expert, because when we were talking about it the other day, we're like, we have to have Kent weigh in on this. Like, it's just too much. Right. So let's do that. I say.
The Secret Service rent a cars?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so I read the number of articles on this, and the reality is that I immediately thought that these rent a cars had some kind of device that was planted in them, and the device didn't go off at the time it was supposed to go off. It went off when they got back to the rent a car. And so what is disturbing, and it, you know, and I've dealt and worked cases with the Secret Service. And again, it's a media reporting, so Secret Service probably isn't going to comment. But if for whatever reason that they made a decision not to investigate that, I think it would be pure insanity. Because let's say the next rent-a-car place on the next trip that President Biden goes to or his family goes to, they rent cars and it happens a second time. So I think that it would be worthy to investigate in a very thorough and, you know, as deep as they can to figure out, was something planted in these cars before the Secret Service picked them up? Did it happen afterwards? But at least to have some kind of conclusion so that there wouldn't be a chance of any future sabotage of the president and his family's cars.
It's your birthday. You go.
Well, okay, Kent, let me back up a minute. Is it normal? I'm having a hard time. Like, to me, when we're going to be moving the president of the United States around, even if it's, you know, Ice Cream Joe, it's I imagine a presidential motorcade full of cars, you know, expensive cars with bulletproof glass and stuff. And then, you know, I look at Hertz Rent-A-Car. I mean, I know they're one of the big names in rental cars, but it's really not like and I know that the Bidens like Hertz. I believe Hunter Biden in 2017, this was one of sort of my first peek into the life of Hunter Biden. He left a crack pipe in a rental car. I think that was a Hertz car. It might have been an Enterprise car. I'm not sure. But is it normal for the Secret Service to rent rental cars, like pedestrian rental cars from a company like Hertz? I mean, that in and of itself seems a little off to me.
No, it would be normal. And here's the reason why. There are support people that work for the Secret Service. There are people, they have to shuttle agents to and from where the protection detail currently is, maybe from a hotel. Next shift comes on, they have to get them to wherever the president's at. So they use them for advance work, a lot of different reasons. And then in addition, you know, if the president has family that will not be able to accommodate in SUVs or limousines, they would use rental cars. But let me just tell you that even in the private sector, and even in the private sector, when we go get a rental car, we check for any type of explosives. They're in, and the Secret Service has the most sophisticated dogs to check for explosives in every car. There should be a technical countermeasures search on every car so that there's no devices, listing devices, you know, camera devices planted in that car. And so all of that should have been thoroughly checked before they picked up any of these cars. And maybe it was. And if it was, that's great. But I still think there has to be an investigation, because there could have been something they missed and something was planted in that car that caused a problem.
Me. I have a question. Okay, so I went to the tinfoil hat place. Sorry. I mean, my daily conversations kind of lead me there now, right? So I thought perhaps that this could have actually been planned by the administration. Maybe they didn't want certain things being found in those cars. Could I be
maybe Hunter was driving around in one of those cars and there was evidence that needed to be disposed of?
I mean, so much is being hidden from the American public as a whole, stolen. We're being suppressed with our free speech. I mean, these guys think they can get away with anything. Money laundering, sending billions away. I mean, you name it. Why is it so? To me, I would think that's destruction of potential evidence that they might want to, rather than somebody targeting them, which that seems very plausible, obviously. However, I go to the other side too. Now, what do you think?
Well, you know, I highly don't think there would be a Secret Service agent doing that. You know, there could be a rogue Secret Service agent that possibly could do that. So when I do any investigation, you cannot look at things in a tunnel vision way. So what you just mentioned is something that should be in consideration. Now, maybe it is a little bit of an incident that maybe we would think that the chance of that happening are very minimum, but it still should be checked, should be looked at. We can never get into a situation where, you know, if the media's report of the Secret Service not having any investigation, not interested in investigating, I just think that's reckless because, you know, even like you said, and I will also say this, sometimes, and this happens a lot, and people don't get it. Sometimes the biggest threat to the president and his family is the internal threat, not the external threat.
Thank you. Yeah. And we've talked about this before with other celebrities and people where they hire people they shouldn't be hiring. And that's actually a great point for us to segue into your other topic. However, I find all five cars blowing up at the same time. Five cars blowing up at the same time. And I, you know, the lack of trust and transparency that is coming out of this administration, the just blatant stealing in your face of key elections. It's like, to me, what else could you destroy? Well, maybe there's some evidence that needed to be destroyed that weekend. Who knows? And it may have to do with Hunter. Who knows? But it was, my mind still goes there.
It was frighteningly close to the fuel depot there, too. I wonder if maybe that's just a unhappy coincidence or if somebody maybe had been hoping something more nefarious and destructive might have happened. I don't know. That's just something I considered. It may have just been a coincidence that this happened near the air fuel depot.
Well, and look at one other option that may have occurred. Maybe they did this after the event occurred and they took the cars back and they did it to send a message to them that we're tracking you and we're keeping a watch on you and look how easy it is for us to cause destruction on you. And so it could be a group, it could be an individual, and you know, it should be a wake-up call that the cars need to be examined in a much thorough and more detailed way. And, you know, there are a lot of things you can do tactic wise. You know, you can order the cars from one rental place and at the last minute switch them over to another rental case location, because inside the rental location, there are people that are working there, and the people that are working there are communicating to other people that, hey, Joe Biden's Secret Service guy just rented 10 cars from us today. And so that information gets out on the street before the cars are even picked up.
Yeah.
I mean, that means Secret Service ain't doing their job. If those five cars blew up.
That's one thing that I'm curious about. This kind of begs the question, like Secret Service, you know, we have a lot of constructive criticism, or maybe just criticism, of many of our you know, lettered federal agencies, if you will. But when it comes to the Secret Service, it really feels kind of like, you know, since, I don't know what, like Reagan, they've done a really good job at keeping presidents safe. You don't really see a whole lot of stories about, you know, a near miss with a president. So this does seem somewhat contemporarily unprecedented. Would I be correct in that assessment, or do you think this is maybe more normal than we might think?
Well, you know, internally they have their problems, and they have their problems with individual agents, and they probably have those problems every single day and every week, you know, and it may be something minor, somebody sleeping on the job, or somebody that let somebody into the White House that was unauthorized that you don't hear about because it never hits the media. And one case that I worked on, and I think I told this on a previous show, that you know, a lady showed up. We were doing security at this location and said she was with the Bin Laden terrorist organization and was going to kill Trump. And it took 2 months for the Secret Service to contact me to find out any additional details and for them to start the investigation. So when I hear that, that's very disturbing, because at that time there could have been Ebola put out, you know, nationwide. And especially our geographic area, that a uniformed patrol officer could have pulled her over and arrested her for the threat to the president, Trump was running for president at that time.
Okay. So, but I mean, overall, the standard operating procedures and the rules of engagement and protection principles that the Secret Service has, you know, perfected and implemented over the years seems to be really effective, you know, since we haven't had any attempts on a president's life or anything like that in so long. I find it curious that this has happened, and that, like you're saying, you know, where's the investigation here? Why is this just sort of a blip on the news feeds, and everybody's supposed to just take it as a coincidence? I don't know. I mean, is it possible? I'll go to break after you answer this, and we'll come back and we'll switch topics. But is it possible that there is a massive investigation going on and it's just classified? They don't want us to know about it?
100% yes. I mean, the reality is that they're not going to go to the media and say, hey, we're doing an investigation on this. They privately can do the investigation, and it's better that they do it privately and not announce it to the media, because then there are going to be 50,000 questions and then 50,000 more stories that come out with all types of conspiracy theories and other issues that they want to plant in those stories. So, yes, I think that they probably, even if it would be a couple investigators, spend a couple days on it and find out there's nothing here, then may not be as thorough or detailed as we would want, but they'll decide that.
Okay, so unfortunately, folks, we're going to have to leave this one with the classic holiday maxim. It's a mystery, Charlie Brown. It's a mystery, Charlie Brown. I'm afraid that's where we're going to have to leave this one. Cece, anything else you want to throw in there about this one before we take a station break here?
Nah, it's just like... All right. Par for the course, the crazy par for the course with that administration. Nothing shocks me anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to predict this one will be a Charlie Brown mystery for perpetuity, but I'm glad we got to get Kent's opinion on it. I hope there is an investigation going on, and if I had my druthers, we would find out the results of that investigation, but I know that's asking for a lot here in 2022. All right, we're going to take a quick station break with today's news talk, and we'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Darren Denslow.
Excess death data has been released in the UK. Steve Barclay, UK Health Secretary, has confirmed that a report compiled by the NHS this summer that was sort of kept secret and kept away from public eyes confirmed that the NHS has allocated £1.3 billion for COVID compensation claims for the years 2022-2023. And they've given a whole range of reasons why they've had to put away this amount of money, ranging from wrong diagnosis of COVID, poor COVID treatment, waiting lists, not being able to access healthcare, ambulance waiting times, etc., etc. Oh, and they mentioned briefly vaccine administration. Now, I don't know what that means, but we can all guess when we consider that excess deaths in the UK have topped over 1,000 per week for the last 27 consecutive weeks. In fact, we have now just hit 40,000 excess deaths in the last 33 weeks. Funny number, that. So it is a major problem, and I think the UK government are finding it difficult to avoid talking about it and confronting it.
D.D. Denslow and Digging Deeper on TNT Radio.
A deadly virus emanating from Wuhan, China is sweeping across the globe.
Something is off.
The disease caused by the novel coronavirus has been titled COVID-19.
What we're being told doesn't add up.
It's so important in this crisis that we in. That people
Congress passes a multi-billion-dollar bill that will bring...
There is no cure and no way to treat this illness. All we can do is wait for a vaccine.
All we can do
is wait for a vaccine.
There must be a doctor out there who's questioning this.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm the vice chairman of internal medicine.
The only chance to reduce the risks of hospitalization is early home treatment. We can beat this pandemic.
Patients actually think the virus is untreatable. There's such a focus on the vaccine. Where's the focus on people sick right now?
The pressure to suppress any hope of treatment is extraordinary.
Why the single-minded focus on the vaccine? What is that? What is that about?
That's really going to be the goal of investigative reporters to figure this out.
Unprecedented lockdowns, devastating economic damage, huge violations of personal freedom, families separated from their loved ones, all in the name of a medical emergency.
Things won't go back to truly normal until we have a vaccine that we've gotten out to the entire world.
The hope we have of protecting our communities is to get a needle in every arm.
I am not going to follow what you are suggesting and let the virus slaughter my patients.
John, I'm watching what's happening. This is a treatable illness.
I don't think this is a matter of academic debate and confusion. What the evidence shows is that this is an organized criminal enterprise. They call this a business opportunity.
People need to know the truth.
We are witnessing the greatest organized crime in history, to the tune of trillions of dollars.
The biopharmaceutical complex is using censorship, propaganda, and manipulation to keep people living in fear. But what we need now is courage.
The Courage to Face COVID-19. Available at CourageToFaceCOVID.com.
All aboard!
Don't think you're the one losing your mind.
And I don't know how many commercials you'll see. 3 out of 5 have mixed race couples in them. That's not by accident. They're selling soap, man.
We can't believe it, but we cover it.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, happy birthday to me. A little bit of Ozzy in there. Thanks, TNT. That was amazing. That's great. Okay, I think Ozzy and I have a birthday around the same time. So happy birthday, Ozzy, if you're out there listening. All right. Well, I'm with Kent Moyer from World Protection Group and CeCe Woods from thecurrentreport.com. And we just went over before the break there. We were going over this weird situation where the Biden Secret Service, when they went to, was it Nantucket? There once was a president from Nantucket who really liked ice cream so much. He just said, never mind. I'm not going to throw that rhyme in there. I'll keep the swear jar lid on today. But anyways, so the president, he goes to his little vacation thing. By the way, also, this is funny, just as a side note. The president and his wife, they've just unveiled their Christmas decorated, the Christmas White House. It was they had some absurd title for it, which was actually really creepy. But they have 9 stockings up on the hearth, right? Christmas stockings, but they did not put a stocking up for Their granddaughter, their illegitimate granddaughter, Hunter's daughter that he had out of wedlock with a stripper or a hooker or something like that. I can't remember.
So wrong. Sorry,
so they pretend they, yeah, isn't that, that's kind of mean. I mean, it happened. We all know it.
Child, for God's sakes.
Right. Like they put stockings up for the two dogs. The two dogs have a stocking up there, but their granddaughter does not, because she's inconvenient. Her conception is inconvenient for them. So anyways, they go to Nantucket for a little party here. And Secret Service rents five cars, cars that were surprising to me that they would rent. But, you know, now that Kent's explained that to me a little bit more, it makes a little more sense. And then the cars, after they returned them on Monday after the holiday, they all five of these cars had a fire in the engine bay. Very burned up cars. You can see pictures of them online in the news reports. Very burned up. And we're just wondering why. And guess what? Like I said before the break, if you're just joining us, it's going to be a mystery, Charlie Brown. But Kent has shed some light on that for us. And here we are moving into the next segment here. And I'm, you know, steamrolling again. So, Alex, I'm going to skip that headline coming up here. Kent, so what are we going to talk about next? You know, I noticed that homie from the Migos down here in Houston, I believe, was recently lost his life in another rapper being shot situation. I'm not sure if this one had like an Instagram factor or I'm going to get your chains, man, factor, or if this was just a game night, a party night gone wrong, a dispute at a party night, kind of what it looked like to me. But yet again, we've lost another rapper. I rather liked the Migos too. I thought he was a decent rapper and maybe a decent guy too, from what I could tell. So I was sad to see that. What could have been done better there, and how can we use that to sort of like dovetail into what you want to talk about today?
Well, I mean, if you think of there are what I call executive protection agents, the highest level formal training, executive protection bodyguards that could have some training, could be bouncers in clubs, just be big guys. That's the old school way of thinking with protection. And then you have buddy guards. And so when you're looking at rappers and you look at all the entertainment people, billionaires, people in the industry, the rappers are the highest risk of any attack or threat in the industry. And rappers choose mostly bodyguards and bodyguards. They want big guys. They want untrained guys. They want intimidating guys. They want guys that are on their social media bench pressing 400 pounds. Look how tough I am. I can, do all these physical skills, but they have an IQ of about 10. And so any time there is any attack on a rapper, it turns into a chaotic situation and no response from the bodyguards or bodyguards. And the bodyguard, by the way, is a guy that is the buddy of the individual rapper or the individual celebrity. And he kind of has crossed that professional barrier. Maybe he's dating his client. Maybe he's stealing from his client. Maybe he's, drinking and partying with the client, with the girls. So that's the element of security that rappers usually go for. And unfortunately, it's kind of like Einstein said, insanity's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But for some reason, they hired the guys that they grew up with on the street. And those are the guys that turned into their bodyguards or bodyguards.
It happens so quickly, it's a shame. And I've sort of seen similar things. My call sign Heshers, indicates that I come from a heavy metal background. That was sort of one of my cultural hangouts, and still is sometimes. I just went and saw Merciful Fate recently, but you see that in, like, I didn't pay attention to hip hop as much as I paid attention to heavy music, hard music, whatnot. But you see that there too, where it's like people grind so hard to make it in those industries. And it's all different now because of social media. It's all happening in front of the world and in front of the local townsfolk, whereas before it would just happen in front of their fans and the people that they were drawing to their fan base. So like you look at Marilyn Manson, for example, when they started that band, they needed a keyboard player, and they ended up just giving the job to their friend who had no idea how to play keyboards. He would actually sit on the stage and play with toys and dolls when they first brought him into the band. It was just like, we want this guy because he's our friend. He can learn it as he goes along. And, you know, that shows this like a DIY spirit that's sort of required, you know, as you're building something like that, especially something chaotic and artistic like music, especially rap or metal. You know, there are similarities in those two. But it seems to be me that it's like a natural progression to like have that build up, have an entourage sort of form around it. Same thing with Manson's bus driver. His bus driver was just like this crazy dude that they like to hang out with, you know, that would like, you know, do stupid human tricks for antics, you know, cut himself and, you know, do all the party stuff. It's your party entourage rising up. And then you don't realize it. It's like, oh, we're all having this success together. We're all on the up, you know, and it's, you know, based on the art and personalities of the, you know, the main performers. But then they hit a threshold. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden they realize, you know, this one scary, tough looking guy or our buddy is not a professional bus driver or is not a professional bodyguard or bouncer. And I think that it's probably hazy to them to like where that boundary is. And it's like, okay, we need real executive protection here, an executive protection group hired to do this professionally. But I think that all gets lost on the way up in those entourages. Man, this is a double-edged sword growing into a position with an entourage, I would imagine.
Well, one of the problems is that they hire these people, but I've been retained as an expert witness on several of them where their bodyguards failed. And it was just so lunacy what company they hired as well as the bodyguards individually. And when I, you know, speaking with the attorneys, they somehow can run to $1,000 an hour attorney and they get the best attorney. But for some reason, they can't figure it out when it comes to bodyguards. And I said to him, I said, I just can't figure it out. They'll run to you, the best attorney in the world, to hire you and retain you to get them out of the problem. And they'll go right back to the same bodyguards. And it's the honest truth. And for some reason, they have a comfort level. And I think what it is a lot of these bodyguards, untrained bodyguards, do whatever they want them to do. And that means grab the camera off the paparazzi, take out the SIM card, push it in their face. It also means, hey, go down and get me a couple of hookers down the street there. You know, I need some coke. You know, can you get me a little meth? You know, and they're willing to do everything. And a professional team is not going to do that, because I always say to clients, they say, well, why? What would you do that you would stop protecting us? If I see you doing anything illegally, because anything illegally that you do, I can testify against you, and I don't want to be put in that position. So whatever you're going to do illegally, do it behind closed doors that I don't know about it, you know, and I don't see it.
Okay. See, you just answered the question that was brewing in my head right here, is because I think that's probably another, you know, there's that come up factor where you come up, you find yourself noteworthy, and you have this entourage around you, and it's all your buddies, basically, your party crew and the people who facilitate your thing, whatever your thing is, you know, making your art and doing whatever it is you do between your performance of your art that may or may not be legal. So there's probably a lot of people who would have a tendency to stick inside of the buddy guards and the entourage because they feel like that allows them to party like it's 1999 and, you know, engage with illegal stuff and then use their whole entourage to, you know, work those processes of bringing, you know, girls and alcohol and drugs or whatever the heck they might be into in and around the circle. But for people that maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a rock star out there listening right now or an up and coming rapper. And, you know, they do like to, you know, smoke pot and live the bachelor lifestyle. They can still get, like what you just said proves, I think, that they can, if they just maintain their lives and act professional in public, they can still have that piece of their life that's private, right? Like you having an executive security group around you is not going to disrupt your ability to do whatever it is you do behind closed doors, and you know, whether that's legal or not. But if you guys are so out, you know, so unhinged and so, you know, you have to party with your entire entourage and it has to be public and you have to be pulling girls out of crowds and dealing with, you know, that kind of stuff, like, that's, you're not in a class where you are professional enough to even have an executive security group, an apex one like yours.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that I could care less what anybody's into. You know, you're into drugs, you're into crazy women, you're into whatever you're into. That's your business. But the reality is that let's separate that so you can have your privacy, do whatever you need to do with that. And we will just focus on protection rather than us getting drug into facilitating or when you're smacking your girlfriend around, that we're not supposed to call the police. If we see a crime being committed, we're going to do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why they stay away from a professional company, because they're concerned that they're out of control as a person. And they know that it may, you know, professional team may, you know, their buddies will let it go. And they think that the buddies have loyalty to them. But even the buddies don't have loyalty to them because they're running around telling all their friends. And then at some point somebody's getting paid by TMZ to leak the story out. So.
Yeah. CeCe, I bet you've seen a lot of that happening. A lot of these groups, turning into, especially in LA. I mean, you just got paparazzi like behind every bush.
Well, it's not just paparazzi, believe it or not. There's, you know, a lot of guys. I used to get so pissed off about this too. Anytime anything went down with a celebrity, I traced the leak back to our local sheriff station, and I would get so mad. I would call Alex, our sheriff, or our station captain and go, God, can't you just put a freaking plug on those guys for a minute? But yeah, TMZ, they have incentives. They give incentives to, you know, these cops need to, you know, find an extra. And these are good. Some of these guys are really good guys. Don't get me wrong. But still, it's like a little extra Christmas money or whatever. Just used to drive me crazy because it was just something I couldn't control. So that's how TMZ, they really have got with the Kobe crash. They were the first ones to come out with it. But I was the very first person to upload the actual first responder post that a helicopter had crashed. Within seconds, they had that manifest. So yeah, it's, but bodyguards too, right? I mean, bodyguards. These bodyguards too, you know, they're making that money on the side. You know, they're getting some incentive from TMZ. Come on, help me out with that.
Yeah. I'm an executive protection agent. I'm not a bodyguard or buddy guard, and our people are executive protection, which is very, very different. And the reality is that's another thing which you brought up. A lot of these people don't even have mutual NDAs with the client or NDAs with the bodyguards or buddy guards. And I am blown away when you find out that they're leaking stuff and they have no recourse to go back and sue them. Most of them don't have any money anyway, but, to stop it, immediately stop it. So, and a lot of them, you know, which is another crazy thing, they don't do any background checks on people. So for example, Prince Harry and his wife have hired a security guy, that head of security that was Michael Jackson's guy, that had a domestic violence in his background. And I think one other thing. And so why would you hire somebody like that? And if it's through a company, you would tell the company, why didn't you do the background check on them? Or why didn't you have brought that to our attention so that it doesn't embarrass us when it did come out into the media?
And I would imagine that, that's huge right there. That is really huge. That protects everybody, you know, that protects the client and the protection group. So that's a big deal right there. And it removes the vulnerability that the whole buddy guard and entourage setup has, where, like CeCe's saying, I mean, TMZ is huge. They must be offering like six-figure checks, I don't know, seven-figure checks. I'm not even sure like what they could bribe someone's buddy guard with would probably be money that they would not be able to turn down, you know. And if there's no legal recourse there, because there's no NDAs, it's just the handshake system.
Well, these guys are not guys with a you know, glowing set of morals either. You know what I mean? It's like if they're doing all kinds of illegal stuff, and you know, they're hitting up their friends' girlfriends, and you know, drugs, you know, the whole thing. It's like, of course they're going to take money from TMZ, because they're not a protection. They're not a professional protection firm like Kent's, and where, you know, there is the, you know, ultimate, you know, level of professionalism, NDAs, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they cross every T and dot every I with Kent, but with these low level bullshit bodyguard situations, you know, they're just not paying attention to what they need to be paying attention to. Otherwise, we wouldn't see as many of these guys going down.
Yeah. All right. Well, rappers, I hope you're listening.
They're not going down because of the jab, right? Most of these guys are going down being shot. Am I correct or not?
Yeah, a lot of them, you know, it's just an attack, whether it be a knife or a physical attack or, you know, shooting. So here's another thought is, so a lot of these people, because they're not vetted, they're not background checked. Many of them don't even have a license to be doing security or having a firearm. And, you know, we do psychological assessments. And in that assessment, it weeds out people with post-traumatic stress syndrome, narcissism, any mental illness, any grandiose ideas, any type of mental illness. And it also, a lot of people that take the test, 50% can't pass it. And you know why they can't pass it? Because they're faking the test. And what that means is, if there's 150 questions and they're all multiple choice, they're trying to think what the right answer is to put down rather than just answer what comes into their head. So the test has the ability to pick up the fact that somebody's faking the test. And you know what they're trying to do? Manipulate it. So there have been people that have worked for celebrities for many, many, many years that behind the scenes are getting kickbacks from all the vendors that the celebrity uses. They're basically manipulating people all the time. We had people that would, when we go out with Protect a Celebrity, and they would say, yeah, so-and-so's going to go to the gym on the 18th floor, and the suite they left on the 19th floor, and they told us the 18th floor because he was trying to sabotage the detail. You know, we've had so many times where even one case where it was a very high net worth person, the client's head of security was the biggest threat to him. And he would sabotage our people all the time. And finally, I just had to turn around and terminate the contract because I told the attorney about it and they did nothing about it. And, you know, and I know why he didn't do nothing about it, because he knew all the dirty little secrets of that client.
So there's like an unbreakable, you know, questionable relationship there that it just would not facilitate a professional executive security wing.
Yeah. And it was a client that was, if I looked at the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp case, is exactly the same kind of incident, same kind of behavior between two of both of them, you know, he and his girlfriends. I mean, it was bizarre to hear some almost the same incidents.
Wow. Wow. Are we talking about Marilyn Manson? I'm just kidding. I know you can answer that question. And I know that we're probably not, but that came to my mind because he's about to go into a similar lawsuit, I think, and him and Johnny are friends. And I've been looking into a little bit of his legal paperwork that he's finally submitted in response to this. And it's almost a mirror image situation of Johnny Depp. So and he's lost his entire career over it, basically. Like, so this one's going to end up looking a little bit the same, I think. But let me take a final station break here. And we'll come back and we'll do one more short segment with Kent Moyer and CeCe Woods on TNT.
Oh, it is on. It is on like Donkey Kong. Mike Lindell announced on Steve Bannon's War Room today that he will be seeking the office of Republican National Committee Chairman, trying to oust one of the McFailure triplets. That would be Ronna McDaniel. We'll always give Ronna credit for bringing Michigan in for Trump in 2016. But Ronna, what have you done for us in the last 5 years? Precious little. Mike Lindell has the experience, the temperament, the expertise, and most importantly, the willingness to stop illegal voting. Until we have elections that everybody, regardless of party affiliation or political philosophy, can rely on as being safe and secure, we will no longer be a constitutional republic, but a banana republic. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
I will be right by your side.
Women can have it all, including heart attacks. But symptoms like jaw pain, nausea, unusual fatigue, dizziness, and backache are often different and more subtle than for a man. The fact is, heart disease is the number one killer of women. Know the signs. Learn more at GetHeartChecked.org. From Women's Heart Alliance, in partnership with Women Heart.
We listen to stuff online.
Online.
Listen online.
TNTRadio.live. Be a part of the conversation and follow TNT Radio on Gab, Getter, and Twitter.
TNT.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Brian McClain Show here on TNT. I'm joined by CC Woods and Kent Moyer, and we're heading into the final segment of the show. I have breaking news here. Baal, the ancient Mesopotamian deity described in scripture and demonological textbooks such as the Pseudo-Dalmanicarchia Demonium, has distanced itself from Balenciaga after the country's recent scandal. The demon god, bullheaded demon god, said to reporters, "I can't be associated with this stuff. I've never been associated with Balenciaga or any of their designers or leadership, and I disavow the photographers and designers who created this sick imagery. I will not be taking questions at this time. They're making me look really bad here," he added. So Baal is the latest of many entities that have sought to disassociate themselves from the beleaguered fashion brand, including Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satanas, Abaddon, Mammon, Belphegor, and Asmodeus. The demons of pride, gluttony, wrath, sloth, and envy, and lust have all distanced themselves from Balenciaga. And at publishing time, the demon god Baal has also attempted to distance himself from the Biden administration. So there you go. Headlines. Just kidding. Babylon Bee. Satire is fun. Welcome back to the show, Kent. Welcome back, Cece. Kent, where do we go from here? How do we continue this one onward? And what do you think about potentially Marilyn Manson, Brian Warner having to deal with a similar Amber Heard kind of situation? You know, he's someone, and it's, I didn't even mean to tie him back in two times in the show here, but you know, I was thinking back to, you know, it's a good example of someone coming up, a good example of someone becoming uber famous and now dealing with a lifestyle. You know, do you know anything about his security team or what his posture is or how this could have been avoided, or what do you think?
I don't know a lot about his security team, you know, but I will say this, that what we're seeing is a transition from when, you know, my big start in this industry was Hugh Hefner at the Playboy industry. I mean, Mansion, Playboy Mansion. And so during that time, it was okay to touch women. It was okay to do all these crazy things. And now the things that Hef did, Marilyn Manson did, Johnny Depp did, now it's doing a transition. Now we're into Me Too, and that seems to be fizzling out a little bit. But now it's coming back to haunt a lot of people because their behavior has not evolved with the times. And many times I would tend to say that probably Marilyn Manson is not hiring the top of the line protection for himself. And, you know, even a company like ours, he would be a borderline. I'd have to know a lot more about his behavior and things if I were to meet with him to say we'd take it or not take it, because that's the other side of it. When we know that they're never going to listen to us anyway, and when we know that their behavior is not going to change, you know, then we're putting our own agents at risk. Like I said about the one high net worth client, instead of security would be belittling our people, browbeating them, making fun of them, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, you can't put your agents in a toxic environment. So it appears to me Mr. Manson has not changed quite a bit over the years. And, you know, he's still doing his reckless behavior from, you know, back in the probably in the early 90s or maybe earlier.
Well, I certainly hope he does seem to be a pretty private person, and he does seem to be a very productive person in you know, acting, art and all these things as he's gotten a little bit older. So I feel like there's a lot we don't know about his current status, but it is obvious that at least up until the point where Johnny Depp started having problems, like those guys were partying together. Like they're in Alice Cooper's band together. I believe that, you know, they tour together, they party together. Obviously Johnny Depp is a party guy, but I kind of hope for those guys that after the experience that they're both going through right now, Johnny slightly before Brian Warner, that they maybe realize what you just said, and that it's time to start taking their private security serious, their NDAs serious, and their relationships more serious, and not gravitate towards, you know, predatory people that are, you know, just going to participate in more toxic relationships that lead to more public disgrace like this. Because there's, you know, you guys, you know, Johnny and Marilyn, fans of both of you guys, all respect, but these are dangerous times, and you can't be doing dangerous things at your age with that notoriety and not have things you know, end up where they have, unfortunately. So I hope both their careers can bounce back. And in Marilyn's case, you know, of course he's going to have to prove himself innocent here, and as will his accuser, most likely, based on what I've seen from his legal team. So folks, keep an open mind on this one until it concludes. But anyway, Cece, what about you? Any stories from Hollywood you want to add to this? I'm also curious if Kent has any other salacious celebrity stories that he could maybe tell us that have happened to him in his career. Like, you don't have to give us any names, but I love hearing the tales of your bouts with celebrities and high profile people. You know, it's always really interesting.
He's definitely got more stories than I do, that's for sure.
I bet he's got so many he can't tell too. I bet you look like the kind of guy that has a lot of stories that you are not allowed to tell because of those NDAs and stuff. I can see them. I see them in your eyes, Kent. I know you got stories, man.
Yeah, I mean, one funny story is that I was, you know, we were turned on to a client about, you know, somebody gave us information on a client that needed protection, and he was in the news at that time. It was quite a few years ago. And he wanted me to come up to his house, and I go up to his house and I go up to the gate. There's a little box there, and I buzzed the gate, told him who I was, never said a word. Go in the back, the door's open, and the back door about that much, maybe 6 inches. Knock on the door. He says, come in. I'm in the bedroom. I go in the bedroom, and the entire meeting was him getting a BJ from a prostitute.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow. I'm trying to talk and communicate to him while he's having his fun. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So you're like having to look all side-eyed and awkward. Like, where am I supposed to focus while I talk about this?
Yeah. So I have 100 of those stories. So I try to not tell anybody who they are, but if we're having a beer or two, you know, for your birthday, then I probably would tell you who it is and add a few more details to the story.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I look forward to one of those nights where we can be in the same watering hole.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be great.
Amazing.
On that
well
note,
I hope.
Did you see that email from Joe Bastardi? Because he's passing through Dallas and he wants to come and see you.
No kidding. All right. I will be in touch. Okay. I see that now.
That's
all right.
Side note.
I'll be in touch.
Side note.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So, yeah, we need to have get togethers. We need to like have some TNT get togethers. That would be amazing. Totally. So hopefully I can run into Joe, you know, and we got Joe Olson out here too, you know. So, yeah, we definitely need to work to do a couple meetups here for sure. So we're down to the, you know, kind of near the end here. Kent, with regards to like the current situation and everything, I hope Johnny Depp is listening. I hope Marilyn Manson is listening. I hope every rapper in the planet is listening right now, because there's always something to be learned from you when it comes to personal security, executive security. I mean, you've helped our audience even with just our own, you know, consumer grade level security over here, our mental well-being when it comes to security, our security mindset, our mindfulness. So I want to thank you for being a regular guest here on the Brian McClain Show. I really appreciate you, and I look forward to your next visit. And over to you for any final thoughts, Kent. We'll give it to you.
Yeah, I think the key is hire a professional team, or bring in a professional consultant, even if you want to keep your team, to maybe make recommendations, give training to your guys, tell them what they should be doing and not doing, looking at their social media, seeing whether they're posting pictures of them with you, the celebrity, which is another bad problem. But, you know, we're at a real difficult time. So, you know, it's important, and the cost is going to be a little bit more with better security. But the reality is in the long run, you're going to be saved having to be a Marilyn Manson and having to go hire a $1,000 lawyer.